Lord Narsimhadev, whose form is terrible by sharp and long teeth, who is very fearful to see with strong, large nails, and who is garlanded by flames. Destroy, destroy my obstacles and kick out my fear. Scatter, scatter my enemies. Destroy, destroy my karma. Flash, flash, kill, kill, cut, cut. Ever fulfill, fulfill my desire to serve you and protect, protect me and all around me. Startling, isn't it? This Mahamantra of Lord Narsimhadev. For those who have had darshan of this deity from here in Mayapur, especially at Mangalarti, when in the darkness of pre-dawn, his doors open to reveal his awesome form, illuminated by 200 oil lamps that make his eyes and teeth glint in his lion-like face with a gaping mouth. They know that this description is no exaggeration. While inside the altar area, the pujari circles large lamps of bright flaming camphor and ghee. Outside, many devotees throng for a glimpse of their Lord, for they know that this auspicious aarti will be over in just 3 or 4 minutes. It is just before 5 a.m. The aarti is over, and the heavy wooden doors to the Lord Narsimhadev's altar are closed. I enter the deity room. After offering prostrated obeisances and praying for the blessings of Srila Prabhupada and the assembled devotees, while standing before the Lord with folded hands, I recite the following prayer. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who has assumed the form of half man, half lion, all glories to you. Just as one can easily crush a wasp between one's fingernails, so in the same way, the body of the wasp-like demon Hiranyakashipu has been ripped apart by the wonderful pointed nails on your beautiful lotus hands. After cleaning the floor and sitting on a kusha grass mat, the puja begins. The first thing I do is to purify the articles to be used, as well as the body and the mind. Then I meditate on my spiritual identity as different from the body, understanding to be the eternal servant of the Lord. Next comes my worship for my spiritual master Srila Prabhupada with sandalwood paste, flowers, incense, a ghee lamp, and some food. I then ask for his permission to assist in the worship of Lord Narsimhadev, repeating the same procedure for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Prahlad Maharaj. I begin to offer 16 items of worship through mantras, through the medium of water, to Lord Narsimhadev. I touch my head to the lotus feet of the deity of Sri Prahlad Maharaj, praying for his blessings. It was only to relieve the distress brought to you by your demoniac father Hiranyakashipu that the Supreme Lord appeared in his wonderful form of Lord Narsimhadev. O Sri Prahlad Maharaj, you are one of the 12 Mahajans, or great authorities of devotional service. Kindly bless me with the understanding of spiritual truths. On the altar of Lord Narsimhadev are 100 Shalagram Shilas. I remove them to offer Abhishek. The big Shila in the center, who wears a crown, is a Narsimha Shaligram. Although it is a scriptural injunction that one should touch one's head to the feet of the deity, it is not always possible or practical. Therefore, we bring out the Satari, the deity's shoes, mounted on what looks like a helmet, and place it over the heads of the devotees. One of the benedictions of being a pujari is that he can place his head directly on the Lord's lotus feet. receiving this benediction and begging forgiveness for any inconvenience I may cause him, I undress the Lord and wipe his body with a soft, damp towel. His body begins to shine when I massage it with cooling oils like sandalwood or cuss. His form is exquisite, slender, and perfectly formed. He looks powerful, but also graceful. The Lord's knees are bent, ready to spring, and around his hips is an engraved girdle, bearing a face like large cheeks, open mouth, and a protruding tongue. His navel is deep, and his chest is broad. Lord Narsimhadev's transcendental body is smooth, soft to touch, and very much appealing to the eye. He is bedecked with bracelets and other ornaments. The Lord has 8 arms. In 6 hands, he holds a sword, lotus flower, disc, conch, club, and shield. And to keep the promise of the Brahma, his 2 front hands yield no weapons. The Lord cannot bear any intolerance against his devotees. It is said that the face is the index of the mind. If this proves to be true, then we can see how furious Lord Narsimhadev must have been when he burst out from the pillar to attack the greatest of all demons, Hiranyakashipu, who tried to kill the Lord's pure devotee, Prahlad. His angry eyes resembled molten gold, and his shining mane expanded the dimensions of his fearful face. His deadly teeth and his laser-sharp tongue moved about like a dueling sword. His ears were erect and motionless, and his nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaws parted fearfully, and his entire body touched the sky. When it was decided to bring a deity of Lord Narsimhadev to Mayapur for the protection of the devotees in the temple, 3 of the main pujaris were called by the managers to discuss the importance of establishing this deity. However, when it came to the point of who should perform daily puja, no one was willing to step forward. After such a long waiting period, the deity is finally ready, and now nobody wants to worship him? This concern was obvious, and then I was singled out. "Why don't you want to worship him?" I was asked. "I'm too scared," I replied. They intimated me. "Oh, you probably don't follow the 4 regulative principles." "Of course, but..." Fortunately, our fears were allayed by Atmatattva Prabhu, who had procured the deity in South India. He told us that first, even the Sthapati refused to make such a deity, saying that nobody worships such Sthanu form of Narsimhadev. The ferocious form of the Lord when he stepped out of the pillar to kill Hiranyakashipu. Generally, one goes before the deity of the Lord to ask for some benediction. But to ask for something when he is shaking with fury just wouldn't be the smart thing to do. It is certainly better to go for a more pacified form. For example, after he had killed Hiranyakashipu, but later, when the Sthapati found out that it was for Mayapur Dham, he agreed, because any deity brought to the Dham takes on the mood of the presiding deity of the Dham. In this case, it was Audharya, benevolence, the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shri Gaur Hari. Although very ferocious, the lioness is very kind to her cubs. Similarly, although very ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narsimhadev is very, very gentle and kind to his devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. While dressing the Lord and remembering his mercy, I am thinking how some people misunderstand our purpose of worshipping Lord Narsimha. Sometimes, devotees say that worship of Narsimhadev is Vaikunth Bhav, and it cannot take one to Golok Vrindavan, the Lord's supreme and most intimate abode. But Lord Narasimhadev is particularly inclined towards the devotees of Radha and Krishna. He is Krishna himself, appearing especially in this form to reciprocate with our desire to remove all the obstacles in our devotional service. If one can always raise his hands and call out with great love the names of Nitai Gaura and Radha Madhav, that is wonderful. But if there is something in your heart that is stopping you from that spontaneous call, why not go in all humility before Lord Narasimhadev and pray that with his sharp nails he may pierce those crooked desires in your heart and throw them far away? This is his main function. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, "Therefore I will pray at the feet of Lord Narasimhadev to purify my heart and give me the desire to serve Krishna. Weeping, I will beg at the lotus feet of Narasimha that I may worship Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in Navadeep Dham, free from all obstacles." His prayers continue. At that moment, by Lord Narasimhadev's mercy, I will exhibit symptoms of ecstatic love for Radha and Krishna, and I will roll on the ground by the door of Lord Narasimhadev's temple. Didn't Lord Chaitanya reveal his divinity to Srinivas Thakur while Srinivas was worshipping his Narasimha deity by saying, "Srinivas, don't you know that I am the same person whom you are worshipping behind those closed doors? And what about Advaita Acharya, whose offerings of tulsi buds and Ganga water, along with his loud calling, caused the Lord to descend? It is said that he worshipped a Narasimha Shalikram. I now begin putting ornaments on the Lord's body. I adjust Sri Narasimhadev's necklaces so they hang symmetrically, tie shining bracelets on his wrist, and fix beautiful rings on his lotus fingers. I am so close to you, O Lord, and yet so far away. When will I become a devotee? Prahlad, your foremost bhakta is indicating that he is not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue. Your eyes are bright as the sun, and your frowning eyebrows. He fears not your sharp, pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, and your mane soaked with blood, nor your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee, nor your nails meant for killing your enemies. However, he says, I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet? I know. Sri Prahlada was saying that last point only for our benefit, for he was always completely surrendered unto you. One time, I also felt surrendered unto you, at least for a few minutes. That was during the big flood in 1987. While offering you puja, standing in waist-deep water, a big, frightening snake swam in the temple, passing behind you, and stopped about 5 feet in front of me, finding its exit blocked. After examining me for some long moments, it dipped down, out of sight, in the muddy Ganga water. Feeling myself in imminent danger, I noticed the hair on my arms standing on end, with no weapon to defend myself, nor the ability to run away. I felt very insecure. In such a helpless condition, I turned to you, O Lord, and I knew that my fate was completely in your hands. You are the super soul in everyone's heart. If you want that snake to bite me, it will bite. If you don't, it won't. Let me continue my service. The result is dependent on you. Then I became peaceful again, feeling the safety of your shelter. I finished the morning puja, but I couldn't stop thinking about the incident. It reminded me of the description by Lord Kapila of the babies in the womb. In their helpless and painful condition, they get the darshan of the Paramatma, the Lord in the heart. If they are pious, they pray that if He relieves them from their suffering condition, they would, after being relieved from the womb, exclusively worship Him. But as soon as they are out and in good shape, they forget everything. Still, I have great hope that one day I will be able to serve you nicely for your pleasure. By the way, as long as the temple room was filled with water from the flood, the snake would come every day, circumambulate the deity once, and then go out. Who knows who that snake actually was? Covering his body with fresh garlands of flowers and tulsi, offering sandalwood paste mixed with fragrant flowers and tulsi leaves to his lotus feet, which symbolizes sacrificing everything to the Lord. The morning puja is now complete. Hearing the devotees gathering outside makes me hurry. It's time for the darshan. I blow the conch 3 times and open the doors to reveal the resplendent Lord. Jaya Shri Prahlad Narsimha Dev. The devotees bow down, happy to see their Ugra Narsimha again. In their hearts, they know that he is not really as Ugra as he looks. This is taken from an article published in the Mayapur Journal in the summer of 1994.